It's week 17 on the What Do They Know podcast. Nick is solo this week, and he will go over Saquon's historic day, a terrible win from the Giants, and will break down the playoff picture with only 1 week to go. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast. I am solo today, back with you for our week 17 recap. Jeff is wrapping up his Christmas vacation in Arizona. Wanted him to enjoy his time with his family. So I told him I would kick this one solo this week and give you guys a little something to wrap up week 17. So glad to be back with you guys. We obviously took a week off as well. Hope everybody had a great holiday, a great Christmas, and hope you have a happy new year by the time you'll be listening to this. I believe it'll be New Year's Eve. So hopefully everybody has a great, safe New Year's and kicks off 2025 in a good way. So wanted to wrap up week 17 for you. Lots to go over, a lot of storylines as we are. The playoff picture is really coming into form. I think we have almost all seeds officially clinched in some form or fashion. I'll get into that here in just a few minutes, but wanted to start with what I believe to be the top story of this week is Saquon Barkley. He eclipsed 2,000 rushing yards today. He had 31 rushes for 167 yards in their blowout win over the Cowboys. And he's only the ninth running back in NFL history to ever hit that mark. So incredibly impressive run. I mean, he has been the heart and soul of that team. I mean, you think they didn't have Jalen Hurts today, and they actually lost Kenny Pickett, their backup quarterback, as well. So they were playing with a third stringer who admittedly I've never heard of. And they didn't really skip a beat. And I think it's in large part to what he's able to do. That offense goes as he goes. And so, you know, we've talked about on previous episodes how he could very easily be in the MVP conversation. He won't win it, but it's been very impressive nonetheless. And so he actually needs 101 yards, rushing yards, next week, week 18, to break the single season rushing record all time for a running back. So that'll be pretty incredible to watch. I feel like, you know, there'll be some debate on whether or not that'll be like the official record, right? If it'll have an asterisk next to it. Obviously, this original record was done in a 17-week season. This is an 18-week season. So he gets an extra week to rack up that 101 rushing yards to possibly break that record. So a lot of people will probably view that differently. I know Roger Maris, when he broke Babe Ruth's home run record in baseball for the Yankees back in 1961. He did it in more games than the Babe did it. So everybody said originally that there was an asterisk on that and it wasn't the real record. So I feel like this might be something similar if it ends up happening. And who knows? It'll be interesting to see if he plays next week or if he plays at all or how much. The Eagles have the 2 seed locked up. And really no reason for him to play. I guess the only thing is it's against his former team next week, and how sweet would it be to set the all-time rushing record against your former team in the Giants last week of the season. So that'll be interesting to see how much they play. That'll be interesting for a lot of players, a lot of teams next week, as playoff position for some teams isn't going to move one way or the other. So we'll see what happens with Saquon and the Eagles. But nonetheless, incredible performance. What a first year with a team. You think first year signing with the Eagles, I believe it was a 4-year deal. So still 3 years after this, and what a phenomenal first impression for him. And I'll be curious to see what he's able to do in the playoffs and how far the Eagles are able to go. next is we're going to have a doozy next week for the AFC, the last wild card spot, that 7 seed. So first 6 seeds are wrapped up. The Chargers clinched on Saturday with their win over the Patriots. So huge congratulations to the Chargers getting in. Jeff and I talked at the beginning of the season in our preseason breakdowns when we covered the AFC West that, I mean, I and I believe Jeff was the same way, really had no hopes or no expectations for the Chargers. I think I picked them, I'll have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure I picked them to finish last in the division. So for them to have this type of season, you know, have the 6 seed, really have an incredible defense, an incredible turnaround in general. So kudos to Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert and that team. So they clinched the sixth seed. And so now the seventh seed comes down to three teams. It's Denver, it's Cincinnati, and it's, believe it or not, it's Miami. And Miami actually has a better chance than Cincinnati. So here are the scenarios. So if Denver wins against Kansas City, they're in. Plain and simple, right? That's the easiest, least confusing situation. if they lose, then that opens the door for Miami and then ultimately Cincinnati. So if Denver loses and Miami can beat the Jets, Miami will be in. They'll have that seventh seed. Now, if Denver loses and Miami loses and Cincinnati is able to beat Pittsburgh, then they'll be in. So really all three of those teams, we just talked about what a good story it is with the Chargers. The same can be said for either all three of these teams. Denver basically going from worst in their division to potentially a playoff spot. Miami doing what they did, potentially making the playoffs with having Tua gone for the better part of half a season. I'm on record with how valuable he is to that team. So it would be pretty impressive if they were able to squeak in. And then Cincinnati, I think, would be the biggest story of the three, just because of the fact that Cincinnati was 4-8. So they were 4-8. They're now 8-8. So four straight wins, really gritty, impressive performance on Saturday against Denver. I mean, honestly, I think it was the game of the weekend so far. A lot of really good performances, but that game was phenomenal. Went into overtime. Cincinnati scored with, I want to say, under 2 minutes left. And then Bo Nix was able to lead Denver down to essentially a 25 or 30 yard Hail Mary is pretty much what it was, with a few seconds left to tie the game and go into overtime. And then ultimately Cincinnati was able to win it in overtime. but it's a phenomenal story. So it'll be really curious. I know the big thing, with this whole scenario, with Denver obviously having the easiest path, is, whether or not Kansas City is going to play their starters. And they have no reason to play anybody, right? They're not playing for anything. They have the number one seed locked down. They have the first round bye. They know exactly what their situation is. They have no reason to play anybody. So that'll be really curious. I know a lot of people are joking around saying they're going to be huge Chiefs fans this upcoming week for the first time ever, because they want Denver to lose. But we'll see what happens. I don't know who I think is going to get in, and I don't know who I necessarily want to get in. I think I was talking to my brother-in-law, who's a diehard Bills fan, and obviously they're the two seed, so they'll play whoever gets the seven seed. And I said, I really think the toughest matchup is the Bengals, just because of how well they're playing right now and what a streak they're on, right? They've had pretty much playoff elimination games for the last month. And so if they're able to squeak in with the way that Joe Burrow's playing, I think that would be an incredible matchup and would definitely be the toughest of the three for Buffalo. So I think because I'm a huge football fan and I want good playoff games, I think I probably want the Bengals to get in just from that perspective, just to have a really good, juicy matchup. but we'll see. I think either way, it's going to be a phenomenal finish. Week 18, lots of interesting games. probably the worst win of the year today for the New York Giants. So the Giants won. They beat the Colts. They won 45-33 over the Colts. Absolute shootout. Best offensive performance by far for the Giants this year. But they were essentially in control of their own destiny for the number one spot, the number one draft pick in April for the 2025 draft. And by winning today, they went from having the first pick to the fourth pick. So they no longer have the pick of the litter, so to speak. They no longer can dictate who they pick, just by a week 17 win that meant absolutely nothing. So I know a lot of Giants fans were not happy today. Just looking on Twitter, they were not happy about losing that first overall pick. and I think it could go, I mean, depending on obviously who they pick and who goes 1 through 3, and if they would have taken that player, et cetera, this will be, to be determined way later down the road. But this could potentially have been the worst win, ever for the Giants, just because it could literally change the face of their franchise. I referenced this a few weeks ago with Jeff, but the year before Trevor Lawrence came out the Jets were 0-14, I think it was, and had that number one spot locked down. And then, you know, week 15 or week 16, whatever it was, they went to LA and beat the Rams and lost the first overall pick and ultimately lost their opportunity to draft Trevor Lawrence and ended up with Zach Wilson. And we all know how that ended up. So, I mean, this is the same scenario for the Giants. Now, I know everybody is saying that it's predetermined that they're still going to get Shedeur Sanders, but I mean, I don't know what this shakeup does for that, but I mean, what a organizational changing win that was today. And I know players are never playing for draft picks. They're never playing to lose. They're out there on the field, risking their bodies, risking their health. They want to win. So you can't fault them for putting forth a phenomenal effort. And I mean, what a game from Drew Locke. He had 5 total touchdowns. Malik Nabers went absolutely bonkers today. Had over 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. Played phenomenal. And it was the best offensive showing by far. And they eliminated the Colts. The Colts would have been in that scenario that I just mentioned for the final wild card spot. But they lost to the 2-win, now 3-win Giants, and now are eliminated from making the playoffs. So what a horrible win for the Giants, but what an equally horrible loss for the Colts. You think, you know, you were given life on Saturday when with Denver losing, and then to go and face a 2-win team and just give up 45 points on defense to a 2-win team who has shown no signs of offense all year is just a terrible, terrible loss. So bad game all the way around, even for the winning team. And be really curious to see how this all shakes out with the draft order. And as of right now, the Patriots are they own the number one pick. They're on the clock if the season were to end today. So that'll be really curious just because they don't need a quarterback. I think everybody has already decided that they feel really good about Drake May. So they won't be drafting a quarterback. And I think right now it would go New England, Tennessee. I can't remember who's third, and then it would be the Giants. So who knows? The quarterback they want still might end up falling to them, which would be, you know, convenient for them. Everybody knows they're going to take a quarterback. But we'll see what happens week 18, and if they do some shifting around and lose even more ground, then I think we're looking at, you know, probably a trade up to get into that spot where they want to be at to draft a quarterback. you know, I already talked about an intriguing games for the last wild card spot. We have a couple of divisions that are going to be up for grabs on week 18 as well. So next week we're going to have the NFC North. That still needs to be decided, and that's going to be the game of the game of the weekend. More than likely, it'll be the Sunday night game. If I had to bet anything, I would. The Lions hosting the Vikings, and it's this whole situation is crazy to me that we're going to have two 13, possibly two 14 win teams in the same division, and one of them is going to end up having a wild card spot and have to play on the road. So the winner of this game is going to get the first overall, the number one seed in the NFC, and the first round bye. So massive, massive implications. And, you know, you go from, you know, fighting for a first round bye to now also having to play in the first round, but having to go on the road. So, I mean, that is just, it's going to be an incredible game, incredible atmosphere. It's going to be in Detroit. So we know that those fans will be there. I know Jordan Addison from the Vikings was already, you know, in his post-game press conference was already calling for as many Viking fans as possible to get to Detroit to be part of the game to you know, root them on. So that's going to be the game of the weekend by far. And I can't wait to watch it personally. I thought maybe it would be flexed to, you know, on week 18 they do 2 Saturday games now. But with Detroit playing on Monday this week, they go to San Francisco, I believe. They're not going to do a Monday game and then turn around and make them play Saturday. So almost guaranteed that they'll be the Sunday night primetime game, would be my bet. And then that's the NFC North. We still have to figure out who's going to win the AFC North. So, you know, the Ravens and the Steelers are both in the playoffs. It's just a matter of who gets the division. Right now, the Ravens have a 1-game lead by virtue of their head-to-head win on, what was it, last week? Not on Christmas, the week before. They were finally able to knock off the Steelers and pretty convincingly, and Lamar finally had that game that he needed to have against the Steelers. So they have a one-game lead on them right now, and it's shaping up that the Ravens are going to ultimately win the North and have the three seed. But if you know, something unforeseen happens and they lose and Pittsburgh's able to knock off Cincinnati, that could very easily flip-flop. So we'll see what happens there. And then the NFC South. So we're going to have the Bucks and the Falcons. It's going to come down to for the NFC South. The Bucks absolutely laid it on the Panthers today, scored, I think, 48 points. So they are up technically in the division right now, with Atlanta getting ready to kick off here as we speak against Washington. So even if Atlanta loses today, I think because of head-to-head record, they still have an opportunity to clinch next week. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that is the scenario. So it'll come down to week 18 to figure out which of those teams wins the NFC South. And then the last one that may or may not be decided tonight, I'm still a little confused on how this is all factored in, is the NFC West. So the Rams are up right now and have a one-game lead on Seattle. They play next week, so this is why I'm confused, because everybody is saying that if Washington wins tonight, because of strength of record or strength of schedule, the Rams are going to clinch the division, which I don't understand. So that could happen tonight, and next week's game could be meaningful or meaningless. But if Atlanta wins tonight, then that would mean that next week is going to be a head-to-head matchup for the division as well. And that'll be a phenomenal game too. So my guess is that would probably be flexed to one of the Saturday games, the Rams and the Seahawks. So that could potentially be a great week 18 matchup if Washington doesn't win. Again, I don't understand this whole strength of record thing. I didn't think that was one of the primary tiebreakers. I thought it was head to head, and then it went to division record. So, you know, I don't fully understand how that's dictating who wins the division, but, you know, what do I know? So that could potentially be another one that we have to look forward to next week. A ton of really intriguing games, a ton of really intriguing matchups, and the playoff picture, at least the seedings, are starting to come into focus. So the AFC, the Chiefs are locked into the one seed, the Bills are locked into the two seed, the AFC North winner is locked into the three seed, so that'll be either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and then Houston has that four seed, the last division winner, and then it's going to be either Pittsburgh or Baltimore in the five seed, the Chargers in the six seed, and then, you know, that cluster of three teams that we spoke about already, Denver, Cincinnati, or Miami, rounding out the AFC in the seven seed. in the NFC, it's either going to be the Lions or the Vikings, as we already talked about, in the one seed. Eagles locked into the two seed. And then I believe it's the Rams. I'm going to look it up real quick. I believe it's the Rams right now that would have the three seed in the NFC. Let's see how it's shaping up. Yeah, so right now Rams 10-6. Tampa Bay is 9-7. So Rams would have the three seed, Tampa Bay 4. And then, again, either Minnesota or Detroit as the 5. And then Green Bay and Washington are going to figure out the 6 or 7 seed. Washington's technically not in. If they win tonight, they're in. So more than likely, they will be in, barring a complete collapse. So, again, the teams are starting to come into focus. It's just a matter, you know, with the exception of that last spot in the AFC, it's just a matter of what, you know, where everybody's going to land in seedings and where they're going to play. And we already know who's getting the bye in each conference, or in the AFC, I guess I should say. So really exciting times. And you know, one of my favorite things is week 18 wrapping up and getting the seedings, getting the matchups, getting the game times, what games are Saturday, what games are Sunday. And we even have the one Monday night game now on wild card weekend. So that's always one of my favorite things, you know, is getting the matchups, getting the times, and knowing what games are when. I'm weird like that. I know a lot of people don't care. They'll say, I'll just watch it whenever it's on. But that's something that I look forward to every single week, or every single year, I should say. So I have a couple overreactions for you this week. I'm just going to kind of lay them out there. I think that Houston is the worst division winner in the NFL. And you know, I'm trying to think of who else. Maybe I guess you can make an argument for the NFC West or the NFC South. Obviously, they'll have a pretty comparable record, but I don't really think it's particularly close. I fully expect Houston to lose wild card weekend against whoever they play. Again, it's looking like it's either going to be Pittsburgh or Baltimore. And Baltimore just already on Christmas just completely lambasted Houston. So I don't have high hopes for them at all. I think that, you know, they've lost Stephon Diggs. They just recently lost Tank Dell to a devastating knee injury, second year in a row. And that really showed on Christmas. And so I just think that Houston is in a ton of trouble. Joe Mixon has become a shell of himself. You know, I was on record saying what an impact player he was for them through the middle portion of the year. He was really, really dominant. He went on a stretch of over 100 scrimmage yards and at least one touchdown for like four or five games straight. And I mean, he's just really been a non-factor for the better part of the last quarter of the year, quarter and, you know, and a half-ish. So I really don't know what's going on there, but I will be very surprised if Houston makes it to the divisional round and beats whoever they're hosting wild card weekend. I just think that they are not a good team. So this next one, I'll be curious if, you know, comment, like, you know, retweet, whatever you want on what you think here. But, and this could be, you know, there's something to recency bias, like being wrapped up in what you're experiencing now rather than something that happened in the past. And so I think that Jaden Daniels' rookie season that he's having right now is better than what CJ Stroud did last year. I think, you know, I saw something today that said the Washington's averaging, I think it's 28 points a game. And that's the most any team has averaged from a full-time rookie starting quarterback. And so they're just putting up points like crazy. They could, you know, if they win tonight, they'll have 11 wins going for 12 next week. And so, I mean, obviously Houston won a playoff game last year. So be curious to see if Washington can do that this year. But I think as far as if you put team performance aside and just look at individual accolades, I think it would be hard to argue that Jaden Daniels didn't have a better year than CJ Stroud did last year. I know CJ Stroud kind of put rookies on the map as far as what they're capable of achieving. Obviously, prior to last year, you pretty much had to temper expectations with, hey, this is a rookie quarterback. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw a ton of interceptions. He's going to fumble. They're just not going to be very good. And CJ Stroud kind of changed all of that last year. And, you know, there's something to be said for that, for changing the perspective on how we view rookie quarterbacks going forward. But I still think Jaden Daniels has had a better year overall. And so I'd be curious to know if you agree, disagree. And I'll be curious to see if Washington is able to kind of take that step that Houston did as well and win a playoff game. So this one is really curious to me. If Cincinnati can make the playoffs, I think that there should be no question in my mind that Joe Burrow is the MVP. I don't even think it should be a conversation. If they're able to, you know, if the chips fall, you know, they get the two teams to lose, they are able to beat Pittsburgh and they're in the playoffs, Joe Burrow is the MVP of the league, hands down. It's not even a question. I mean, he has now 8 consecutive games over 250 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. 8 games in a row of 3 passing touchdowns and 250 yards. That's a record. The next highest is 6. So he set the record last week and then he broke it this week. So 8 weeks in a row, 250 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he is just in complete control. I would not want to face them in the playoffs. And I know I already talked about it, but I think that Cincinnati is the most dangerous team in the NFL right now, if they were to get in the playoffs. I really do. I know they have to have two teams lose in front of them next week. But if that can somehow happen and the Bengals get in the playoffs, I think they would be the most dangerous team. I really do, just because of momentum. And I think that, you know, my argument is what does this team look like without, you know, said player? What does Cincinnati look like without Joe Burrow? I mean, they're a two, three, four win team. I mean, I don't think it's that far-fetched. I know they have talent on the ends with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but anybody else, I don't think that they're even remotely where they're at, you know, at 8-8. So I think that I think it's between him and Josh Allen. I really do. I know Lamar Jackson has had a phenomenal year, and I don't want to take anything away from him. I know his stats are actually better than Josh Allen's. I know his stats are better than the last 2 years when he's won MVP. I get all that. But for me, it's either Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, and I think that if the Bengals make the playoffs, it should not even be a conversation. I think that Joe Burrow should be the MVP of the league. So let me know what you think about that, because I know that, you know, a lot of people have it pretty much set in stone that it's going to be Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. All right, power rankings. So it's pretty self-explanatory. Not a lot has changed. I kept my top three the same: Bills, Eagles, Lions, Vikings at four. Actually, so my top four might have been the same. Yeah. Yep. So Bills, Eagles, Lions, Vikings. And then I brought the Chiefs back up to number five. So I had the Packers there originally. They obviously lost in a close game to Minnesota today. And I brought the Chiefs back up. I know I said in weeks past I wasn't going to put them up there just because of the Chiefs. But I think that if you watch the last couple of weeks, the thing that Jeff and I and pretty much everybody has talked about happening is starting to happen. The Chiefs are starting to round into form. They were dominant on Christmas. They were dominant the week before against Houston. I know it was technically a one-possession game. I think they won by eight against Houston the week before. But I never felt like that game was in question. I never felt like that game was close. So two playoff teams, 2 weeks in a row that they didn't really struggle with. So I think that they're starting – they've officially flipped the switch, right? Jeff and I talked about how it doesn't matter what they do September through December. Their season starts in January. And I really believe that wholeheartedly, and I think that the last 2 weeks have shown that. So I brought them up to crack my top five, sitting at number five, and I think that it's gonna be scary the rest of the way now that the Chiefs have officially flipped that switch. All right, so that's all I got for you this week. I'm not gonna recap our picks from 2 weeks ago. Because I don't have Jeff's picks, and he's slaughtered me all year. So we're going to put a bow on our picks this year and just say that, you know, hats off to Jeff. He absolutely crushed me. So I'm not going to give any picks for you this week. I'm not going to do game of the week without Jeff. Doesn't seem right. So that will do it for our picks for the week, or for the season, I should say. So two years in a row, Jeff just absolutely crushed me. No contest with our weekly picks. And so, yeah, that's going to do it for me this week. I know it was a shorter episode than usual, short and sweet, but still felt like we were able to cover a decent amount. Jeff will be back next week. We've already talked about it. So we'll wrap up week 18. We'll wrap up the regular season. We'll probably do some sort of recap on some of our preseason predictions now that we will be officially heading into the playoffs. And by next week, this time, we should pretty much know all of the matchups. Because if my prediction is correct, the Sunday night game won't matter for the first round matchups. It'll be whoever gets the first round bye. So we'll pretty much have an idea of who's playing who, and we'll be able to hopefully break all those down for you next week on our episode. So again, hopefully you guys enjoyed. I know it was short and sweet, but wanted to get some information out to you. I hope everybody has a phenomenal new year, a safe new year, and enjoys the time with friends, family, loved ones. And we will be back for week 18 to wrap up the regular season and preview the playoffs.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.